Thank you. Appreciate you quieting down. We're starting late, but we do have a quorum in the room, so I'm going to call the meeting to order, and we're going to begin by considering the meeting minutes of August 19th, 2025. Any corrections? Or
Mayor, I wish you those, and I can make a recommendation for approval.
Is that a motion?
It's a motion.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Our second item of business is the Iron County Transportation Expo report.
That's Nate Wyburn.
This is Iron County's, huh?
Wrong county.
When I saw that, I wondered what we were doing, but I guess you're going to fill us in.
Yeah, so we actually held the Iron County Transportation Expo for the first time last week. Was that last week? Last week, it went pretty well. All the cities were very well prepared. We didn't have an awesome turnout. We have a lot to learn on how to get people to that expo, but it was good. We had city council members. We had a mayor help out at one of the booths, which was really awesome. And overall, I would say it's pretty positive. The cities want to do it again next year. Already we're talking about how to make improvements. Anything specific that you wanted to talk about there, Myron?
I wanted to talk briefly about the comments that you received and what kind of the type of people that attended.
Yeah, most of the comments were fairly positive. We had a range of people's interests from transit. A lot of people came to talk about the South Sea change. A lot of people also just wanted, at least where I was, they were really happy to see that there was long-range planning taking place. That was one of the really positive feedbacks that I gathered from my group. And also, we had Scott Bias, our mobility manager, came up, and they were excited to see that he was offering those services that he paid a lot of people. And also other DOG services. People were mostly interested in the interchange improvements that were happening.
Did they have a northern port person there?
We did. We did have somebody there from the Utah and North Port, Danny Stewart. And he didn't receive a ton of comments. I think that's pretty well supported in Iron County. So that's all I have.
Any other questions? Thank you. Ours is a planning highlight of the year, I think. It developed into that. All right, we're jumping to my favorite topic. We're going to talk about financing models and funding assumptions.
So I'm going to try and share my screen here for a minute. I just want to do a quick sound check online. Are you hearing us online, Bruce and Mayor Randall?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. As we prepare for our 2027 plan, one of the first things that we work on is developing the list of needs and the list of funding available to meet those needs, and then trying to match those two up together. I'm sure you all can understand the difficulties in doing that. In personal finance, when your needs exceed your available resources, we're all aware of how we can go out and borrow with credit or dip into our savings accounts. The same thing is true in private business financing. In public financing, it's a little different. We either have to, with the requirements of balancing our budgets, we either have to create capital project accounts where we can save up for large projects. We can bond, or we can increase taxes or fees. And I'm going to go through a fire drill analogy here today. we know that our needs list is going to be longer than our available resources list. And we don't know the exact magnitude of it right now, but that information will be coming within 3 or 4 short months. So this is just kind of like the fire drills that we all did in kindergarten, where we rang the fire alarm and evacuated the school and then asked, well, how did we do? With no real consequences. But in 2 or 3 months, when we go through this process again, the decisions that we'll make will have consequences, and we'll need to understand what we're doing then. So I thought it prudent to go through things right now. As we look at our transportation needs, we divide those needs into phase 1 needs that will be needed between 2027 and 2036. Phase 2 needs between 2037 and 2046, and phase 3 needs. We have a long list of projects on our long-range plan that will be needed to divide into those three categories. And then we go out and we look at available funding, what we know we're going to get in funding, or what we have traditionally received in funding. And then it gets a little bit difficult, because our funding is generally shorter than our needs list. The response we can take to that is to either push some of the phase 1 needs into the phase 2, which basically we're deciding to live with added congestion and safety issues, and defer meeting those needs until phase 2. Or we can come in and do a funding assumption, or assume that funding could become available. And once you do that for phase 1, you're doing it also for phase 2 and phase 3 in the long range plan. At the end of this process, we end up with a portion of the phase 3 needs that cannot be funded either with the money that we currently know that we're getting historically, and the money that we assume that we will have, or that we assume will become available at some future date. And that portion of the list is what we're calling today, we'll call it the deferred needs list. Those are projects that are needed. They're needed in phase 3, or maybe even in phase 2, but there's no way to get to them financially, and that creates a whole different dynamic in the planning process. And to give you an idea of what assumed funding looks like, we know that we have funding that comes to transportation from local option sales taxes. We know that we have local sales tax on fuel, the BNC road funds. We know that we have a local option vehicle registration fee. Right now in Washington County, we're all paying an extra $10 per vehicle per year for corridor preservation statewide, and an additional $10 per year per vehicle for the local corridor preservation fund that is governed by the COG. Other monies that can be put to transportation come from property taxes through the general funds of the cities for transportation. There are transportation impact fees, and of course there's bonding that none of us like to do. In the 2027 to 2030 plan, we made some assumptions in that plan to be able to get to a list of what we could build in phases 1, 2, and 3. In 2007, we assumed that 100% of auto-related sales tax would be available for transportation projects. We assumed that there would be a 5-cent statewide fuel tax increase every 10 years starting in 2016. We assumed that 0.25% sales tax would be available each in 2008, 16, and 26, and we assumed that the local option $10 vehicle registration fee would be available to us. That registration fee was passed in Salt Lake, Davis, Weber, and Utah counties in 2008 and in Washington County in 2010. So if you look at this list, a lot of those assumptions were actually, they actually came into reality. The statewide fuel tax increase happened about 5 years ago, and it was indexed to inflation so that it would rise incrementally as inflation raised.
Myron, does that drop when inflation falls?
No. Inflation has not fallen, so I can't answer that question, but it was set up to do that.
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, that sales tax came on board for fuel, and there was and we in Washington County passed the fourth quarter, and we passed the first quarter cent sales tax and the fourth quarter sales tax for transportation. So these funding assumptions actually did come to fruition, but in order to make our 30-year plan whole back in 2007, these were the assumptions that we made. In our 2023 plan, the plan that we're currently using, for local funds, and I'm not going to dive into the state funds because that's a whole different animal that we really don't have a great deal of influence in on, but our local funds, in our 2023 plan, it says the Dixie MPO Executive Committee agreed that in addition to current funding sources, it was reasonable to expect the following local revenues to become available for transportation in the future: the equivalent of a countywide sales tax increase of 0.25% implemented by the end of 2029, and the equivalent of a countywide vehicle registration fee of $10 by the year 2027. And we published that in our 2023 plan. Neither one of those funding assumptions has come to fruition yet. Unless you look at the word equivalent. So the equivalent funding for transportation could be coming through the implementation of a transportation utility fee, or through the implementation of channeling general fund revenues to transportation projects and that kind of thing. But again, that's how we built our funding scenarios for phases 1, 2, and 3, is we looked at existing known funding that's coming to transportation. We made some assumptions that other additional funds would be coming, and then we stacked that phase 1, 2, and 3 together to come up with our long-range plan. In our 2027 to 2055 plan, and we'll need to reach this point by February or March of next year, we'll need to come up with assumed funding levels. We're waiting until then, because right now we have a consultant that is working with all four MPOs in the state and UDOT and UTA to come up with known funding sources and what those assumed funding sources could be. And they're compiling that tool, and they'll give that tool to us in another month or two. And then we'll need to compile our needs list in February of 2026. And then we'll come back to this body and have this presentation again and look at what funding assumptions could be made in the future. Again, this is just a fire drill. We've been through the process and kind of educated ourselves now on what the process is to get to the bottom of our phase 3 needs list. We will, as in times past, probably need to fund some phase 1 projects in phase 2 and vice versa, with phase 2 projects into phase 3. And that's just the nature of where we're at. Do you have any questions at this point?
Anyone? Please, Mayor.
So on your funding sources, you don't have any financial funding. It's all tax-based. Is that right? You're not receiving any money off PFIP interest or any investments. It's just purely tax-based.
The financial model that we're putting together looks at all of the sources of funding coming to transportation, including taxes and fees.
What he's asking, is it all tax-based? So is there, what would not be that?
We're looking at impact fees that are coming as communities grow. We're looking at the short answer, Mayor Hoster, is yes. They're all tax-based.
Is financial an option? I mean, if you're sitting, $5 million on a PTIP account in just a year, you'd have probably $300,000 gaining. I don't know if those are available options to you, but I'm just curious why those aren't leveraged.
We can take a look at that, for sure. Again, we're building the model now to look at all available funding. So yeah, we could. That's a good suggestion. We can take a look at that.
Thank you. Others?
Gil has his hand up.
Gil?
Donations of land. I actually wanted to know, do we have a 2055 list? 47 to 55?
Not right now.
Okay.
We're developing that.
I know we came close to 50 at one point, but where they fall, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the needs list is just essentially the tip, isn't it?
The needs list is the will become the regional transportation program.
So we've talked about, last couple of years about a utility, transportation utility on your city bill. Now, cities have talked about that. Is there a way that the county a portion of that? Is that just city? Is that a combined? Is that a tax? Is that an extra fee for the county? How does that work? You know, we haven't done it yet. I'm just wondering what's the thoughts and the forward thinking on that.
So when the state legislature set that up, they meant it for to be utilized at the city level.
Okay. So we have a utility transportation fee for the city, but then the county doesn't. Maybe we just can't get any, because Tocqueville, we're small, we don't have a lot of roads at this point, but we put a little fee on it, we don't get much. But I just wonder if there's a way that if the county could get part of that, and I'd have to go back to legislation, but if you're looking at needing hundreds of millions of dollars or billion dollars to do what you're talking for the next 30 years, where do you get the money? And I know that's what we're talking about, but
I have a question about that, about the transportation.
Yeah, really quick. Santa Clara has done this for quite a long time, haven't you, Ben?
Yeah. Well, it's specific to
your transportation fee.
Yeah, so what we've done is we've adjusted our rates to incorporate the capital projects on that, and it's made a huge difference on that, on the fees. And is that what you're
saying? No, don't you have a specific road fee that shows up on your...
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you've had that for quite a while.
And it's made a huge difference. And in fact, we just completed a fairly large project for Santa Clara with all cash because of those fees. So, when you talk about bonding and you talk about, those debt services and going back to Mayor's comment on collecting interest on those, there's legal ways to do it and certainly obviously reducing the risk, but those are big dollars that come in. So yeah, you have the fee, you set your rates to incorporate those capital projects, and we've done it, and it's worked.
So is
really
that
well?
Is that different than your impact fees for your transportation impact fees?
That's correct.
And it's both, or is it combined?
It's in our utility bill. It's a very small, road project fee, and what Dustin's done is gone out for those capital projects. Vineyard Drive, for those that know, that's the small one that literally was funded with cash that typically in the past would have been bonded for, to try to get that done, and that's been a project.
So anybody that's thinking about this, including us, that's where to go to find out how to do it. Please, Mayor.
So my question was that there's 0.25% of tax that each entity's paying. paying stays with the county if you don't have transportation? Like, from my understanding, it's going to St. George because they have the bus system, the transit. It's not the same you're talking about, right? This would be something the cities would build on their own.
It's a fee like you'd have for your... Yeah, flood, any one of a number of others. And it's not very high. Ben, so did your residents come out with pitchforks over this, or did they see the rationale for it?
No, and for that reason, when you can show, hey, we're gonna implement this fee at $3 or $4 or $5 a month versus paying $1.9 million in bond debt over 20 years, and that every dollar we collect goes to that. It really is just a matter of presenting that to your community in a way that they can understand it. And most do. There's always going to be the few that come out in opposition to any of that. But it's, you're literally saying, we are collecting dollar for dollar that we use for these projects.
And this can be enacted by the city council. That's not subject to referendum, fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
You can just do it as a council.
You can do it as a council. Obviously, you have to have a public hearing for it. And we go through it in our capital projects, and when we update these, we update them every 10 years and go through it. And we've done it all the way through there. We've looked at street roads. We've looked at power. We've looked at, and the sewer fees and all of that. And just said, here are the projects we have. This is what can be funded by impact fees. And the balance will be collected in this. And then you just look at what that needs to be. And they're small amounts. Now, the argument on the other side is every amount is an increase. But what this is every dollar collected goes to those projects. And it's not a lot. It's listed on the utility bills. And I think where people, Mayor, come back is, well, look at my utility bill. Here's the base rate and the water and the power. And then here's these, all these little fees that go along with it. But in that is a sewer fee that we have and a transportation or road fee that has proven to be a huge win for Santa Clara in those dollars.
Councilman, did you have to do any outsourcing for studies or reviews?
It is.
The
yep.
part of
it's all part of your capital projects. So going in there and it's been something that over just the last and Mayor Rosenberg played a big part of this as well, and obviously the Dustin and Gary there on the department heads for those, but it's their dollars implemented into that, the little frame, they go straight for your project.
What do you estimate that you save by doing this one?
Well, the last project alone saved us $1.9 million in debt, in just interest. And that this wasn't that's been your drive from Lava Flow to Old Farm Road. That's the detour route when you come to Swiss Day that takes you around that lower road.
And you learned how to present this out so to your citizens, because it is about the information and making sure they understand the whole picture.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, we're getting deep into this. Is it set up as an enterprise fund, or is it set up as in your general fund?
It's set up in our general fund and then set aside for capital projects. So the mayor's point over there is we have capital project funds set aside to gain interest, and I think the last I saw, Mount America had us at just over 5%. I'm sure that's come back a little bit, but even those interest-bearing accounts are, they're secure, they're safe, and they're gaining big dollars every. So not only do you do that, but then you incorporate the interest gained on it. So all of those dollars now go to those projects.
So how long have you had it in place? Do you remember?
I couldn't tell you right off. I know
it's at least five, right?
It's been at least five. So and
it's been
I know
at least
the,
10.
At least 10?
10 on
it's
there.
It's been at least 10, yeah.
Yeah. So I know in the last 3 years we've adjusted those because, in fact, Dustin, I think we did it this spring. The sewer rate was done before that. So, they've been in there for a while. We've just now updated all our capital facilities plan, and those rates have adjusted accordingly. So that's, to your point, Mayor, that's where you to say, hey, here's the big projects, and here's the other ones we have, and this is how we'll...
And I think... I can't remember who was asking, but someone was asking then, can the county do this same thing where we have this massive infrastructure that the county has to fund to maintain?
Yeah. That was me.
Oh, you?
Curious. We got a question. Cameron.
Behind me?
Just a question for Ben. So your utility fee, is it specifically for your pavement management, maintaining your existing roadways, or is it also utilized for new roadways?
It's both. So it does pavement management as well. So we've got that in a 7-year plan across every road in Santa Clara. And then it's the difference of what our impact fees cannot cover. So, you know, in many cases, impact fee can obviously take care of all the new road, or the development will do that. But it'll so it's in our general fund and set aside for those there.
So you've taken into account that, so somebody could accuse you of double dipping with your impact fees, taking that into account in your impact fee study.
That's correct. And that's in your capital facilities plan, that they can say, hey, this is 60% impact fee eligible. I mean, yeah, so. It's a way, again, and I think the win for the community is every dollar goes to those projects. It's bonding's expensive, and so every dollar goes to that with fairly minimal impact.
And it's important to note that this has already gone through the courts, and I think the legislature, last one, the one before, kind of reinforced this, right? I mean, I think you, if I remember right, you can actually develop or have an enterprise fund specifically for roads, which would act that same way. Yeah.
Can it be used for your multimodal transportation trails?
So we have, so I think that's coming through to us next as far as parks and trails and things like that. I probably don't have the best answer on that. I would imagine it could, but I may be speaking out of place on that. We've advised every department head to go through their capital facilities plan and give us a very detailed, and then see what that looks like long term, because we're doing everything we can to just use capital and cash to pay for these projects.
Well, I don't buy them, but that's only one swig every like 6 weeks at 4 or 5 bucks.
Yeah.
Well, and where the state or the federal government are so willing right now to help with funding parks or trails, it might be best if you're choosing on your normal roads, because you probably need them.
Right.
Yeah.
But that structure could be done the same way. I know, you know, St. George went through a big thing with parks now. Yeah. You could utilize that same structure. It's just getting the information, and, you know, and I speak on that knowing probably 70 or 80% of all the details in there, and there's things I don't know. But every model could be based on that, and with the right information to your residents, it's, you're going to have those that will speak out in opposition, but when you can sit down and show side by side, and here's these projects, and here's the cost over 20 years for those projects if we implement, you know, the rate over here or bond over here, it's really easy for the residents to understand the value of what that is.
I can see the only holdback you would have is the timeline for how soon you need the money, right?
Yeah.
And
it's taken time.
But I don't think there's a limit on. There's not that time limit on this. There is on the impact fees, but
yeah. So it, back to your point,
you're collecting, and you might have to wait to be able to pay for that for 5 years until you've built enough money.
And the beauty of this is your fund balance is restricted to a certain percentage. There, this is not. You can go in and say, hey, we're gonna set aside $20 million for Bluff Street, and here's how we're doing it. And those funds can sit there and gain and pick up because they're set aside for that specific project.
Ben, isn't it also a bondable revenue stream? I mean, if you did have to borrow a little bit to finish a project off, I think you could attach that specific fee to paying off the bond.
Yeah. And I didn't think we would get Vineyard Drive done with cash. In fact, Mayor Rosenberg, to get everybody over the hump at the last minute, kind of said, hey, you just pay for your sidewalk and we'll get everything else, which I thought was a big give of the city, but we did it. You know, we started it, you know, in one fiscal year and did phase one and basically just ran it through 3 fiscal years of construction. And it's a small, you know, small project when you're talking about Myron's presenting. But for Santa Clara, this has been talked about as long as I've been on the council. And so this has been, you know, 10, 12 years of discussion. And so to get that done and really set a model, we did it for the Crestview irrigation line that took water to Santa Clara, up to Santa Clara Elementary. So it can be done. It's fairly easy to explain, and when residents see the data up there, it's a, you know, they can see it's a win for them. You're right, to the point of, hey, we have this need now that may not give us the ability to get there. You'll have to be creative on how to get there. But if you plan out that 8, 10, 20 years, it's a pretty easy number to get to. And we do, we have all the projects kind of lined up going, hey, this is when this will happen, this is when, you know, these, and it's working. So
Mayor Hart, that bill is SB 310. Brown wrote on it last year, and it just really makes it a lot easier for municipalities, counties to
do
this. So
what was the number again?
SB 310.
And wasn't it really heavily supported?
It was supported because it's a means, just like what we're realizing right here, it's a means to get funding and save your citizens money. It's just pure common sense.
Yeah.
I appreciate the map, the information today, because it reminds me of how important that is. Thank you.
The county's got a great program. They just turn over county roads to cities and then let them take care of them.
I knew there was going to be more than a county. I've just been waiting for
it. It worked well in Ivins.
Take some and give them back.
Washington, they might have a county road. I know. Then they call it harassment. Take it on the side road.
Thank you for the Santa Clara update, which is not on the agenda, but it was great.
Thanks for giving us some time there.
Let's jump to the Hurricane City one. Let's see. I thought I saw.
Let me just, we agreed as a...
He's got to say something first, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Myron wants to say something first.
We agreed as a DTEC to fund some master transportation plan updates in both Hurricane City and Ivins City. I just wanted to report back to this board that we have initiated those studies. We have signed an agreement with Hurricane City to fund our MPO portion of their project, and they're moving forward with that. In Ivins City, we're in the process of selecting a consultant to lead that process for Ivins City, and we're well on our way with those two projects. And again, we're updating the transportation master plans, and we're also doing a transportation utility fund analysis in those updates. So we would have the analysis of what you've just been talking about here.
What's the time frame on the update?
I'm not sure on the Hurricane project, but the Ivins is within 6 months will be finished.
By the way, Candy, just ribbon you, I will tell you that old Highway 91, your old Highway 91 looks a lot better today.
It does, marvelous.
Than it did when we got it.
Yeah.
And thank you for your help on that, especially county tourism that popped in on that big trail that we weren't going to have for years and years. It's great. All right, jumping to SB 195 update presentation coming from whom? Oh, back to you. Hi, Nathan.
Man, I seem to be hot speaking all of these days.
You need to write down who's making these.
Nathan Weiberg.
I know now. He stood up.
All right, so SB 195, we've talked a lot about this earlier in the year, right after the legislation. That was a big omnibus bill. I'm not going to cover everything today that was in that bill. I'm going to be speaking specifically to the transportation elements of the general plan. So what this bill covered was municipalities in the MPO region must identify priority connections that remedy physical impediments, such as canals, with the goal to enhance vehicle, transit, bicycle, or pedestrian access to significant economic, recreational, or other priority destinations. Municipalities must also identify potential funding sources, including state, local, federal, and private funding. Municipalities must identify impediments to constructing the connections. Municipalities must update the traffic circulation element of their general plan before July 1st, 2027. The NPO has been tasked with giving the legislators updates once a year for the next 3 years, which we just did that. I'll share what I presented to our legislators here in just a minute. So we've been working with your staff to update those and providing resources. Meyer just talked about how we're helping to fund two transportation master plans. Your general plans should reflect those plans in your traffic element. So you're doing a really good job on your transportation master plans. A lot of these requirements are already going to be reflected So I went up to the legislature and we did a presentation in conjunction with Los Angeles County Regional Council, MAG, and CASH. We all shared a presentation. I had one slide. We were the last on the agenda. They booked us for 20 minutes and we had about 7 minutes to do the whole presentation. But what I was able to talk about, how the Dixie Metropolitan Planning Organization has been proactively working with the cities to update their plans. The MPO has provided a connectivity tool as an aid. Mick helped us do that before he went to go work on with the dark side. I spoke about how we have been, our communities have already been identifying impediments and have started working on impediments prior to this legislation coming out. A few examples I shared with was the pedestrian underpass over by Utah Tech on 400 South, and also how in our long-range plans, both in St. George City and the MPO, the 900 South connection. I didn't share that we didn't get that project, but that it was on our plans and that we are actively working to try to find funding for that connection there. I also let them know that,
there's your slide name.
Yeah, so they saw pictures right here. This is all of the impediments that Santa Clara has provided us with that they were looking at as part of their general plan update. And the stats were updated draft is 11%, so we've already had one complete. 22.2% has not yet started, and 66.7%. They're underway, so either it's been funded or they're somewhere in the process of doing that. So our region is doing really well. I also had the opportunity to shake several of their hands afterwards, and they were really glad. The chair of the Transportation Interim Committee said, "It is really great to see somebody here other than Wasatch Front Regional Council." So we're working to make ourselves known.
Thank you. Yes.
So I remember SB 195, Senator Harper in committee was talking a lot about, I think he used the word connectivity about 10, 12 times in his. Isn't that really the focus of the bill to make sure that everything is coming together is going to work and we're not? Is there anything else about that we should know about the element of just pure connectivity?
So that was the main focus. I think that's how the, if I recall, that's how this bill got started, was focusing on connectivity. A lot of our cities in the transportation master plans, that is one of the main goals, is to make those connections. Whether it is I don't know that we have very many impediments over canals and waterways. Obviously, there were two rivers, but we have a lot of other impediments. And in fact, Wasatch Front Regional Council shared a whole list of impediments.
What are you calling an impediment?
Yeah, really.
It can be anything. It can be a topographical, like a bluff. It can be a waterway, river, ditch, stream. It can be an impediment. It can also be funding. It can be I-15 is an impediment in a lot of places.
Okay.
So it's really a wide array.
Anything that's in the way of you doing it.
Yes. Connecting, basically anything that prevents us from connecting the community, our communities, to the resources they need, whether that's recreation, whether that's jobs.
And how you look at it.
So, I didn't ever specify what those have to be, what those impediments are. It just says, such as waterways. And I think we're doing a pretty
good. No, that makes sense. I understand.
Environmental groups work.
Yeah.
moment.
But they are.
But they are.
Yes, they are.
So I think we're doing a pretty good job, and I was really proud to go up there and show them that most of our communities are actively engaged in this process.
Well, as usual, we're really in the lead, but they'll learn.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, jumping to local government updates.
I just have one thing. So I received an email from Devin Snow who talked about the corridor and where they're working through the commenting period. I sent my letter, and I just want to encourage every other person in this room to send their letter and jump on. He actually put on there the link to update it, and so you can just jump on their link. You can put your name, stick your letter right in there.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Every
it's a bit of an open wound for me, but
Where's Kevin? Kevin's here. For those cities that don't vote against, no, you voted for it. You're right. You're smart. Everybody else should have received that link. If you haven't, let us know and we'll resend it. But yes, encourage everybody to submit. We've got 14 days left to do the
comments. Is that the drop dead 14 days?
What's great is, like, we have a county and we want them to work together, and so they send us out the link so we're aware, oh, this is the commenting period, because I didn't know it opened again, which when you call them, like, and the government's working even though it's not working. Yes! It was super exciting.
No, that was a very good idea.
Well, in the case of the Northern Corridor, the impediment is the traffic itself. Right, Cameron? When you look at the boulevard, that is also an impediment. Progress to getting from A to B. So
it's my impediment every time I want to go or get out or come into town. No, St. George does a great job.
So, Mayor, can I mention?
Please, of course.
This has slipped my mind. That's embarrassing. The latest review that was sent out with the comment period, it's a little bit confusing after some people reach out because they don't understand that there's the UDOT route and there's the BLM route. And so we've had to be very clear that we distinguish what those two routes are, because they think that, well, is this the route we're approving? So just as you, it might be just worth a mention just to say, know those two routes and what they mean, because we like the UDOT route, not the BLM route. And so it's just a very simple thing, but I found some people that are really confused about which route
they're
talking
about. That's true,
us too. Excuse me?
Us too, yeah, you're right.
We'll try and clarify that.
Yeah.
ASAP.
So our bypass road is, both ends are open now, tied in all the way, so you can just bypass route through Tokerville. It's very nice. The state has been great. We have a little to do on the south end. They're not quite finished down there where they're tied back in from just on the north side of Laverne, and we're a little bit there, but it's very nice. It's made Tokerville downtown very quiet. Citizens love it. So.
Great.
And the tourists love it because it saved 4 or 5 minutes and all the S turns are going in and out of Tokerville, so it's been really nice. So
that was an important project.
Oh, yeah, that's everywhere.
Going 25 miles.
That's everywhere. If you're behind a truck, you're behind a truck. So.
And I'll just quickly report that we had a ribbon cutting actually this past Saturday on phase two of that Highway 91 improvement, especially on the trail portion of that. And I've got to say, really, thanks to all the entities. COG helped us with some right-of-way issues. We've had all kinds of support. And funny, you know how it happens. You plan something for 5 years from now, and the cost doubles your projections in that period of time. It's really tough to get a road project funded these days. And we had a lot of help, and we're just very grateful for it. It's a huge improvement. If you go out there, we've got 7-foot cycling lanes on both sides of that. We actually had a fatality with a cyclist out there, I think 8 or 9 years ago. And so it was kind of personal to me that we get that fixed so there's a safe way for folks to ride out there. Anybody else?
Well, I'll just update. We had storms a week ago. We had one. Streets and roads that were closed for a minute. I mean, it's kind of crazy that we got four and a quarter inches of rain all last year, and there were some rain gauges that were reporting 4.5 to 5 in North Harmony and Gunlock, but our road crew worked through the night and kept all the roads pretty much open. Of course, our folks up in Pine Valley, you know, we have that terrible fire, yeah, and these storms come in. So in a lot of ways, some of our worst fears, you know, happen, but I think we're moving through it, and yeah, keeping transportation going is critical.
Yeah.
Jobs.
Thank you, Commissioner. It's a huge service to all of us because we can't go anywhere except other than within our city without your help. So, anybody else? Oh, yes, Myron.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that we have rebuilt our MPO staff with the hiring of Thomas Nguyen, who is here today. Why don't you stand up, Thomas, and introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Thomas Nguyen. I came from Seattle, Washington. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, big change for me, but I'm excited to be working with the Dixie MPO. So looking forward to working with everyone.
What specifically are you going to be handling?
Transportation planning.
Oh, wow.
Right now I'm helping updating the active transportation plan.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice to have you. Nice to be here.
Welcome to the best county, best vice county
ever. All right, let's jump to UDOT.
Yeah, I think the one thing I wanted to just make clear is so that if you guys are asked, on I-15, 6-8, UDOT, we have not stopped designing that to the full build-out. Funding has not been identified, but we're taking a little risk there. We are hopeful, but we have not stopped designing the underpasses. So people ask, they say, they're designing it, but the funding has not been identified yet. So just as a FYI. Other than that, you know, the Boulevard project is almost finished. There's some little things that have to happen on that, and we continue designing the rest of the projects. So is there any specific question on projects?
Anyone?
Love Street South.
Okay. Love Street South continues to be a design, and where we have our plans and specification estimate review in the middle of December, so moving forward.
Some of the commercial properties around there are worried about ingress, egress with the user. Mm-hmm. How are they being addressed? Or are they speaking because they see a plan in front of them, or are they speaking just because they heard the word median?
I think we tried to get the word out there, and we've had the meetings to show them, and we, based on those meetings, we've made changes to at certain areas. I think we've addressed those. The median is for safety, and we can show the improvements in safety. But I think the major player in that has plenty of access and signaling access.
Are there any pre-bills? Is there any action in the legislature that UDOT's tracking that would be important to us to be aware of? All right.
I might want to mention that Kirk and his staff are very responsive to public comments. They're concerned about safety and capacity, and they try to get their projects designed to that end, but they're also very responsive to public comments.
Thank you. Did I see a federal rep back there?
Gary, sir.
Oh, there you are, Gary.
I'm Gary Webster from Senator Meade's office. Radio is going to ask you to excuse your boys' office. Sadly. Interestingly enough, the House has not been in session for well over a month, and Speaker Johnson said that they will not reconvene until after the Senate votes to actually form the government. So that's one of the developments today is Senator Meade is at lunch with the President and the rest of the Republican senators. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. But Majority Leader Thune has indicated that it may be a one-year continuing resolution that may need to be floated into the current appropriations process. And I will say, too, I am currently in a work-for-lunch mode. And the pace
can have all the leftovers, Gary.
Yeah, let's pack some stuff up.
We don't want really needs for food tonight, too. So.
You're going to get tired of pasta, but there's a fair bit out there still.
Very good. I will say that most, well, this is the second longest so far in history. So,
bring lunch. Thank you.
Gary, now that the dust has settled a little bit, the big beautiful bill has been passed into law, how does that affect Senator Lee's House exactly? I know it affected it, but I've never heard just the brief just explanation of where it's at now.
Yeah, right now that's pretty quiet about the aftermath of selling federal lands, including national parks, other national treasures, which was clearly a false narrative that was brought about by a couple of interesting characters within the groups of a lot of the hunting and fishing, as well as the conservative or conservation groups, came together, and Montana was kind of the epicenter of that. Their leadership was very much against anything that I often said that will trade our 67%, 66% federal lands. Montana's 30% any day. Yeah, I have that right here. So
Montana's building lots are cheaper than ours.
So yeah, right now that's kind of on the back burner and will remain so because of some of the challenges there. But hopefully that is a national asset in terms of the housing situation and alleviating that. That was, I think, a good plan from Senator Lee's perspective. However, there were not enough votes, certainly. Quite a few from actually Montana and Idaho that did submarine that proposal. So those are our friends.
Thank you.
Yeah, if the government shut down for a month, do we get to deduct a 12th of our federal income tax?
I will recommend that, and I will also recommend that you talk a little bit about the BLM. We were supposed to have a meeting with the BLM and wanted to bring up that transportation, and I'm proposing that we rename them the Bureau of Land and Transportation.
I like it.
The only people I know that have been affected by the government shutting down are government employees. Like, no one's noticing.
I do. My business has been hurt because I can't get forms for the ATF. So, ATF is shut down, so it means I can't transfer firearms.
Some of the fires on the Forsyth fire, we can't get trying to protect Pine Valley residents. We can't get approved because there's nobody.
We had a BLM meeting this morning. They couldn't come because they said they're forbidden from working.
Right. Yeah.
So since he's here, we have the luxury in Ivins of knowing who my replacement's going to be, and Kevin Smith is behind me. Kevin, stand up. So most of you already know Kevin. He's the CEO of Tuacon, but he is going to be taking my place in January. We'll do a very effective job of serving as mayor. Thanks, Kevin.
Are you going to take his phone calls January 2?
What's that?
Are you still going to answer the phone after he's the mayor?
His name shows up, so I don't have to. I don't want. All right. Any other business, everybody? All right, DTEC November 5th, DTEC November 18th.
November.
Oh, yeah.
We're
never
on
mind.
You're just wishing you were
hey, man.
Sooner.
I'm getting crunky, it sounds like. Huh? November 5th and 18th. Anyway, all of you COG folks, remember that we're staying for that. So, motion to adjourn, please.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks. Done.
If every mayor could stay, please. We have a, so that we have a quorum for COG.
All in favor of adjourning? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We're done.
Thank you, Mayor.
Sorry.
On our COG meeting, Council of Government.